honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. Once again, it's a great pleasure to be back on board with you again today. Sorry for that weird way of saying it. Kind of cloudy skies, misty, nasty. And I don't know, it's kind of like the Wolves this past week, you know, like it's, I don't know. At least we're back in first place in the Western Conference, but only by a half game as the Wolves go 500 this week, 2-2. Yeah, so you figure, okay, yeah, we must have lost to OKC, which is really irritating. Like, win the home games against OKC. You know, it's one thing if you lose the road games, still sucks, but win the home games, protect home court, of course not, especially when, you know, we had all the opportunity in the world to win that game. But then you lost to either Charlotte, Brooklyn, or Washington, really? Yeah, the Charlotte Hornets on a night when Karl Anthony Towns scores 62 points.
Are you kidding me?
It's gets better.
Chris Finch vented his frustration over that one, and I don't blame him. I would, too. That was really bad. You can't lose to the Hornets at home and all that, especially on a quote-unquote historic scoring night for somebody. We should have blown them out, but of course we didn't. Of course we didn't. We just screwed around and played terrible defense and selfish, stupid, immature basketball, which is basically paraphrasing what Chris Finch said, and you know, they deserve to hear every bit of that. He retracted a bit of it the next day, and it's like, I don't know, I wouldn't even bother. Like, oh, I felt bad about it. I wouldn't feel bad about it. That was bull crap. You don't lose games like that. And I don't know, I'm not going to... I do get tired of the, oh, well, we've been really bad for 20 years, and now we're kind of good, so what are you complaining about? You know, you're not going to win every game, and I don't know. That's the classic loser's lament that I think needs to be, you know, flushed out. Like, say the Timberwolves need to flush out their bad habits, their turnovers, you know, so and occasionally bad defense now, which is really annoying. And I think fans need to flush out the, oh, it's okay, you know, we've been bad forever. I mean, we, you know, so it's like, now we're expecting championship pedigree. Well, when you're in first place in the Western Conference, yeah, why not? Why the heck not? Why not raise your expectations? So I know, and I was made fun of about that years ago with the Wild, that Wild fans should raise their expectations, where they're like, what? So if we raise our expectations, they're going to play better, you know, and then, of course, everybody liked what they said, and were laughing at me, and it's like, you know what? That's exactly the attitude in this town, in this state, that I think has plagued us forever. It's like, it's not necessarily they'll play better, but I do think we should raise our expectations because I think it just kind of brings things up a bit. It just does. Odds are there's a chance they just might play better. They just might play better. It doesn't guarantee anything, but they just might. If there's a higher expectation around here rather than just, I don't know, everything's just kind of like hunky-dory and then getting beat in the first round again or, oh, at least we got to the second round. Just imagine if this team loses in the second round. How are you going to feel about that with a first-place finish? What if we're like the Utah Jazz years ago, you know, with Conley and Gobert? See, that's been haunting my thought. That's been haunting my mind for the last few months now. It scares the crap out of me. The Utah Jazz, number one in the Western Conference, couldn't even get to the Western Conference final in the playoffs. Ridiculous. I don't want to be that team. I do not want to be that team. I don't want to lose in the Western Conference final. I don't want to lose at all, frankly. Losing sucks. It's depressing. And it feels like a missed opportunity. Is it a failed season if the Wolves get to the NBA finals and lose? Of course not. It's not a failed season. It's just that, you know, it's an opportunity that you wish, you know, gosh darn it, you know, like it was a magical season. You wish it ended, you know, because you don't know what next year is going to bring. You don't know if the Timberwolves are going to be closer to 500 next year. Look at the Phoenix Suns. Look at the Phoenix Suns. Those multiple opportunities to win a championship, and they just didn't. And, you know, 10 years from now, this is probably going to be the same situation where they didn't win. And I don't want to be like that. it's depressing. I mean, Phoenix Suns fans have been waiting over 50 years for a championship. Minnesota sports fans have been waiting 32 years since the World Series, the second World Series by the Twins. So stuff like that, of course. You know, it's like, how can you not be hungry to win a title around here? Especially when you have a team that just might be good enough to compete for one. Why not? Is it wrong to hope for it? Is it wrong to, you know, kind of cling to that possibility rather than just, you know, just flush this one out. Everything's going to be okay. Yeah, if we get to the Western Conference Finals, wow, what an amazing season. Well, yeah, sure, but still feels like an opportunity that you don't know if you're going to get it back. That's what's fueling my stress about losing games to OKC and Charlotte back-to-back. That does not help. It's games that can cost you big time, like the Vikings losing to the Bears. The Chicago frickin' Bears when they were terrible. Well, which is kind of often, I guess, unfortunately. And I don't hate the Bears at all, by the way. But, yeah, in 2009, when the Vikings lost to the Chicago Bears and somebody named Devin Aromashadu ran for like 160 yards against, or excuse me, received 160 yards against the Vikings, sorry, with some terrible defensive gaffes, and that cost us home field advantage. In the, that one and a terrible loss to the Carolina Panthers cost the Vikings home field advantage in the NFC. You know, we got the number two seed that year instead of number one. Just imagine if the Vikings had home field advantage over the New Orleans Saints in 2009. We just might have a Lombardi Trophy sitting in U.S. Bank Stadium right now. It would have gone from the Metrodome to the U.S. Bank Stadium, all that. So, yeah, just imagine. Just things like that. So, it's opportunities that are lost, and you don't get them back because the 2010 Vikings sucked, and there's no getting around that. The 1999 Vikings were very disappointing. They got better later in the year, but then got whooped by the Rams. You know, stuff like that. You could go on all day. So, it sucks. How about the 2003-2004 Timberwolves? Western Conference Finals, blah, blah, blah. The next year, don't even make the playoffs. So, that's the thing. I don't think this team would do that. I truly doubt this team would fall on its face like that one, because obviously that was an immediate win now type of situation with Sprewell and Castell. Two personalities that have a shelf life shorter than a sushi with raw fish in it. I mean, that's about how much of a shelf life that team had. Anyhow, to the four games to review, three games to preview. Little miniature rant to start things out, but you kind of get the point here. That's kind of like generalizing Oklahoma City and Charlotte games like this that are just, you know, not cool. It's not cool to lose games like this. Were the Wolves shorthanded? Yes. But not so much in this, in the OKC game. In the Charlotte game, yes. Shai Gilgeous Alexander probably a top five player in the league? He's at least top 10 and very possibly a top five player. Top five might be pushing it, but no, he's pretty damn close. Chet Holmgren is a wonderful prospect that keeps getting better and better. He's a pain in the ass to play against. And he's damn good. 15 points, only five rebounds, but a couple of blocks. Jalen Williams also added a couple of blocks, but I don't know. It was a very frustrating finish. Very poor ball control, and that's kind of the number one problem. Anthony Edwards with poor ball control, generally speaking. Rudy Gobert had an awesome game with 18 rebounds and such. Didn't block any shots, but he rebounded a hell of a lot of shots because guys were missing on both sides of the court. The Wolves shot 41%. I mean, 41%. That's not going to help. You have a chance to bury this OKC team, and you don't because you missed and missed and missed and missed and missed and missed and missed. Mike Conley had his worst game as a Timberwolf, 1 of 11. It was horrible. 1 of 9. Wide open three-pointers, and he was clanging them. So it's like, damn. And then, of course, Conley was noticeably missing after that. Not been, he's banged up. He's tired. He's hurt, that kind of thing. But at least he's not injured. There's a difference. So Conley, clearly there's something up where he needed to rest a bit. Significantly better when he returns a few games later, so that's great. But Naz Reid with four blocks, he was very, very valuable throughout the game for the most part. Again, 18 points, 4 of 8 from downtown. In fact, I'd venture to say he was the best player on the team against OKC. Rudy Gobert's 18 rebounds were certainly valuable. Anthony Edwards' 5 turnovers were not. Naz Reid did have 4 turnovers in the game, so that's kind of depressing, to say the least. Even Conley had 3 turnovers versus 4 assists, which is very un-Conley-like, very much so. It just wasn't his night at all, Conley. The open threes missed were huge blown opportunities for this team. to beat the OKC Thunder and possibly build a tiny lead. Anthony Edwards missing all three free throws, or at least the first two, per se. Especially the first one, when he was fouled in an opportunity to tie the game. That Wolves down by three, forces up a shot because he had to. Was fouled on it. Had a chance to tie the game if he was clutched at the free throw line, but he wasn't. 6 of 10 from the free throw line. And again, all three of them missed. The last one was intentional, and there was just nothing there. Unfortunately, it was so frustrating. Yeah, 6 of 10, yeah, from the field, from the floor, and from the line. Anthony Edwards only attempted 10 shots, which is also kind of weird. The defense on him was outstanding. And the defense on SGA was mediocre. He wasn't exactly great the whole game, but down the stretch, he was plunging daggers into the Timberwolves over and over and over with turnarounds, fadeaways, and then a big three-pointer. He only made one, but God, it was big. Ugh. Wolves were up by 1 point at that stage from the top of the key, as they call it, or whatever else you call it. Yeah, the top of the key, basically. Three-point shot, and, straightaway three, I guess you can call it also. He only made one. That's why I was comparing him to Wade, because he's, you know, doesn't shoot a lot of threes. Like, Dwayne Wade doesn't shoot a lot of threes, nor does that other guy that plays for the Bulls now. It was drafted by Toronto, I think, back in the day. Back in the day, man. You know, the same stupid draft where the Wolves took Johnny Flynn. Yeah, that guy, that shooting guard. We'll get to him later. Doesn't shoot a lot of threes either, but yeah. But he does everything else, does Shea, driving to the basket and those turnaround shots, and also capable of 6 assists. He does remind me of Wade a bit, yeah, because Wade wasn't, you know, threes weren't his strong point, but he could make them when he needed to. And Shea made that one when he needed to, 12 of 13 from the line. I mean, you know, respect given. I'm starting to hate the Thunder now because of the rivalry, which is brewing, and it's nice to have a rival. It's nice, and it's funny how we played them in the play-in game last year. The fact that we were in the play-in game kind of was annoying, considering we probably should have, you know, at least been a fifth seed, sixth seed, fourth seed last year, which a lot of us expected, and we ended up with the eighth. Wahoo! And we're sacrificial lambs to the eventual world champion Nuggets. So it's interesting how we started off with that one, and now here we are battling for the number one seed in the Western Conference. Who would have thunk that necessarily, especially the Thunder, even though there is talent on the team. It does help that Chet Holmgren isn't out for the year like last year and all that. That was a huge blow to that team's development last year. But, there he is. And Shea is what he is. He's a potential all-pro, you could say, like a first-team all-NBA guy. He's at least a second-team guy. At very least, a second-team guy. And it shows. This game definitely, it was a heartbreaker. It truly was. Timberwolves had this one, and they let it slip away. And I am not gonna hear any argument that says otherwise. They had this game, and they let it slip away. It's not because the Thunder were so much better than us. We just gave it away. We lost. We simply lost. And yes, the Thunder did beat us as well. So it's kind of a combination of things. Charlotte game, we just flat out lost. We played like dog dookie. We played stupid. We played weak, you know, weak defense. 128 points to the Charlotte frickin' Hornets in Target Center. 36-18 in the fourth quarter. Are you kidding? Is this some kind of a prank? Like, come on, it's April Fool's, right? No, it's January 26th. It's not April Fool's. We lost to the frickin' Hornets. We lost to the Hornets. You know, I love their uniforms. Love their uniforms. I like the old history with the pinstripe uniforms, you know, the old days and all that stuff. I didn't necessarily love the players back then, but they were good, nonetheless. You know, Alonzo Mourning, it's not like I loved Alonzo Mourning. He's kind of a bully, you know, but it is what it is. So what? You know, I guess if he's a bully, good for him. You know, if he's successful that way, Muggsy Bogues could be a pain in the butt. And, of course, LJ was kind of a bully, too, at times. But, again, if it works, it works, I guess. Man, already? Sorry, I'm getting interrupted all the time. So, but this game definitely, you know, was not up to par at all. So, at the end of the day, Karl Anthony Towns was scorching the net, making shot after shot after shot. He made his first 8 3-pointers. Okay, so he made his first 8 3-pointers, right? So what happened after that? Well, he finished 10 of 15, so you do the math. 2 of 7. Yeah, I'm kind of forcing things up. It's like, and he had 7 turnovers in a game where you have 62 points because he was hyperventilating. That's why. He was hyperventilating. It's like when I had a six-pack on the bowling alley years and years and years and years ago. It was the most exciting, shocking thing ever, a six-pack. This is way back in the day when I actually could bowl, and I was pretty good. I wasn't a star, but I could average 140, 150. I was around there, about 150 a game in my prime, so to speak. Unfortunately, see, if I could go back to the bowling alley and get used to it again, I probably could get it back after some practice, you know, for a while. But not that that's important at the moment. But at the same time, see, the six-pack, you're just so overwhelmed with shock and excitement, you start shaking a little bit. And then I had an open frame after that. You know what an open frame is? It's where you don't even get the spare. Yeah, you don't even get the spare. See, a six-pack, of course, for anybody that doesn't understand, it should be. You should know, but I mean, maybe you don't. Six strikes in a row. That's insane. Like, not many people can do that. Or not many people luck their way into it. It was kind of a combination of skill and luck, you could say, I guess. Because I was a decent bowler at the time. But not that great. I wasn't even averaging 150 yet. That was still kind of in my mid, whatever, 130s. I bowled an open frame after that. I don't even think I scored 200 points. In a game where you have a six-pack, you don't even get 200 because I hyperventilated late in the game. And it screwed it up. It screwed up what could have been a great, great, great game. And Carl Anthony Towns pretty much hyperventilated in this one. The seven turnovers, you know, and, not good defense and so on and so forth. But the turnovers and not good defense is all over the place across the board. Anthony Edwards didn't shoot well. I don't think he was feeling well either. He did get 11 assists. It was kind of weird, though. He wasn't really taking the onus on anything. Didn't help that there was no Mike Conley. And again, the defense was unprofessional bad. It was like, really? And Jaden stunk too. 3 of 9 from the floor, and he was kind of a mess. And his defense wasn't up to par, which is weird considering who he is. Shake Milton was a mess. 15 minutes of garbage. Crap, basically. Not good. Yeah, he just wasn't good. 15 minutes of meh at best. Jordan McLaughlin, 10 minutes of not much. Not much to brag about there. Naz Reid didn't play well. And again, it's because everybody's so excited and so focused. Oh, Cat's going to get 70. Cat's going to get 70. On the same night, Kobe had 81 many years ago. And Cat's arch rival, the big bully next door, you know, the big, big, big dog, the big bully, Joel Embiid, had 70. So it's like, we're going to catch him. We're going to catch it. And it's like, no, you're not. You're playing like crud. And you can't even beat the Hornets at home. At home when you're supposedly like one of the best teams in the league. So that didn't sit well with anybody. It really didn't. Rudy Gobert, see, that's the thing. 6 of 6 from the floor. I mean, outstanding. But, yeah, I mean, Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, I don't like nicknames that much. Unless it's, I don't know, Cat's okay. It's overused. Just like KG was overused. Why not just call him Kevin Garnett? It sounds better, honestly. It does. I know you want to sound cool saying KG, but yeah, Kevin Garnett. I'm a little bit weird and old school, I guess. But no, his Carl Anthony Towns' field goal percentage after his, you know, six-pack, we'll call it, was garbage. He was about 30% the rest of the game. So again, he was hyperventilating. He was making some shots. Yeah, a couple. He made a couple threes. He made a few close-to-the-basket plays, you know, those baby hooks that are better baby hooks than what other people would do. He's, you know, his are decent. I appreciate his baby hooks compared to other players that used to drive me nuts in the past. Where they would, you know, it was mediocre at best, very low percentage shot compared, considering where you are on the floor. Like, what the hell? How do you keep missing those? But it's usually a big man who's not tall enough, who's shorter than the other big man that puts those up. But in Carl's case, it's not. It's just, you know, like a finesse move. To the point, again, he hyperventilated and the whole team hyperventilated. Terrible defense, and you give up 128 points to a Charlotte Hornets team that has no business beating you. It was their 10th win of the season. We already had 30. Yeah, I mean, what more do I need to say? Have I made my point? Miles Bridges, not Mikhail, Miles Bridges, 28 points, got hot down the stretch. He shot like dog dookie, but he got hot down the stretch. Brandon Miller couldn't freaking miss. What did he miss? 1-3 and miss one regular shot as well. Jeez, 11 of 13. LaMelo Ball with 13 assists. He was all over the place, only one turnover. That's exquisite. 3 steals to make up for the turnover. I mean, jeez. He made up for it all right. Ugh, Jiminy Christmas. Why does it always have to be like this? Why? Like, say, with the Minnesota Wild, you had Jason Robertson. He's like, you know, you could say he's Kirill Kaprizov's rival. When Kirill Kaprizov for the Wild got the Calder Cup, that's the Rookie of the Year. And in the NBA, the Rookie of the Year with LaMelo Ball. Why do they always outplay our star? Why is it always the other guy? You know, did LaMelo Ball outplay Anthony Edwards? Yes, he did, okay? And it sucks. Is Anthony Edwards the better player? Yes, he is. Is Kirill Kaprizov better than Jason Robertson? Yes, he is. But why is it always Jason Robertson with the better game? You know what I mean? So stuff like that drives me nuts. And this game, I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say it's all okay. Flush this one out. Yeah, flush it out, I guess, sure. Flush it out with the dog dookie that it is. But unacceptable performance. And it's, I don't want it to haunt us as the year progresses. Thankfully, the Wolves took care of business in these anticlimactic games in the East Coast. Well, kind of anticlimactic. Frickin' Brooklyn was pretty close. The Washington game wasn't real interesting at the end of the day, but again, at least the Wolves just, you know, played a complete game, you could say, for the most part. Second quarter, Washington gave us a little bit of trouble, but the third quarter, the Wolves took care of business and things paralleled into the fourth. I watched the game, but it's like my mind was wandering the whole time. It was like ADD kind of, you know. It wasn't the most interesting game in the world. It just wasn't. Luckily, Anthony Edwards, 38 points. That's wonderful. No Conley again. So it's like, okay, fine. But at least we got the job done. Hopefully he feels better and is healthier and all that. Naz Reid with a couple of crappy games, though. Gosh, 2 of 9. What the heck? Just like the Charlotte game. I don't know. I don't want to give him the Flynn, but I don't know. Maybe. I think a lot of people deserve the Flynn. I think so. Shake was lousy, like 19 minutes, 1 of 5. Well, he wasn't lousy, but he wasn't good either. Yeah, he was bad. He's just not that good. Kyle Anderson's offense has been terrible this year, generally speaking. His defense is good, but his offense has stunk. Nikhil Alexander-Walker's been fine, obviously. His defense is generally good, but it wasn't. Like, nobody's defense is good against Charlotte, to say the least. But Carl Anthony Towns got 2 of 10 from outside. So it's like still kind of the after effects of that red hot start versus the Hornets, the 8 for 8. Since then, he's been like, what, 2 of 17? No, 4 of 17 since that. 4 of 17 since 8 of 8, surge versus the Hornets. Since then, it's like, say, the second half of the game or so versus Charlotte and into Washington. Well, since then, up to this point. 4 of 17. Yeah, 4 of 17. It's okay. Yeah, hang in there. Everything's fine. You know, it's okay. Well, yeah, we beat the Wizards. So, yeah, I guess it is okay for now. They won. Get over it. That made me want to throw up almost. They play like dog dookie and win by the skin of your teeth against a crappy team. And this was earlier in the year. And then they won and get over it. Like, dude, shut up. Shut up. Seriously. Brooklyn, New York, Brooklyn Nets, absolutely a court that is built for a 3D look. It is built to look 3D, at least to make the players look 3D. What an effect it is. It looks good, doesn't it? Like the players, they look like you could reach out and touch them. It's interesting. Like chess pieces on a chessboard, you know, like you can touch the chess piece. It's kind of cool. It's a cool effect that they went for, and it's nice. So props out to their court design in Brooklyn. Is it the prettiest thing in the world? No. But does it take a nice effect? Yes. It's pretty cool, actually. So, Michael Bridges, now we're playing the other Bridges. Is there a bridge to the Bridges? Well, there must be somewhere, right? Dinwiddie, of course, kept the, he can hit the three-point shot, at least against us. He might not be that great of a three-point shooter, but against us, he might as well be Larry Bird or some other guy in Northern California that I'm sick of. 3 of 6 from downtown was Dinwiddie. Bridges was 2 of 8. Yeah, the Wolves only won by 2 points against this Brooklyn team, and they're not that good. I mean, 30% from downtown, that's not impressive at all. It's crappy. Not that you need to shoot 19 three-pointers a play, you know, like 19 per player, you know, like 93s a game or anything, but that's garbage too. Claxton, obviously very solid in the game. That'd be Nick. Bridges actually led the club in scoring, even though he didn't shoot particularly well. Actually, Cam Thomas did off the bench. Outstanding game, making 10 of 10 free throws. getting to the line and making them, quite simply, but he did turn the ball over a bit. So kind of all over the place. This was an ugly game, honestly. Nothing pretty about it. Anthony Edwards, a few highlights along the way, and a lot of complaining, like always. Where's the foul? Hey! You know, like slapping their wrist or their hand, like, hey, where's the foul? You know, over and over and over and over and over and over. And you get the idea. But that's pretty much like the Wolves. It's the NBA in a lot of ways. I mean, LeBron James complains a lot. Everybody complains a lot. And speaking of fouls and such that I failed to mention with the Hornets game, Karl Anthony Towns was fouled beyond belief on the final play of the game, or, you know, what ended up kind of being the finishing touch versus the Charlotte Hornets. He was fouled. I'm sorry. And I don't know. Again, it's the endless, incessant complaining that certainly has hurt his cause, and why they seem to swallow they magically seem to swallow the whistles when Karl Anthony Towns drives to the basket. It's unfortunate because it's every single time. He's always on the ground or, you know, with his hands in the air or whatever. Or just his hands in the air in general. That was a foul, though. And he does get a short straw when it comes to the refs and such. And fouls called, non-fouls. Fouls called on him and fouls called, not called on his opponents when he's hacked. That is annoying and tiring and stupid. But I don't know. If he could calm down a bit, it would help in so many ways. Like Charlotte, the whole game, he was hyperventilating. It's a fact. These games versus Brooklyn, I mean, the Washington game was just kind of a professional solid win. A boring game for the most part, but a solid win. The Nets game was unnecessarily close, definitely. But at least the Wolves finished the job, I guess. Credit to them for being clutch down the stretch, I suppose. A clutch enough, anyway. And for the Nets. Not the Hornets, but the Nets. Yeah, no relation at all, by the way. I don't even want to get into the funny words you can get into with those two teams. Yeah, you get the idea. not only the clutch play by us, but the non-clutch plays by, again, just taking advantage of the situation, I suppose, where the Nets just kind of shot themselves in the foot down the stretch. Fouls against them, like, you know, like what would it be, like loose ball fouls and such down the stretch that ended up kind of writing the end, kind of at the, you know, basically writing the end on this game, thankfully. And the Wolves end up surviving in Brooklyn, which is nice because we've lost a billion times in Brooklyn. We've lost a billion times in the nation's capital, and we've lost 100 billion times to the Charlotte Hornets and Bobcats and the old Charlotte Hornets as well back in the day when they were still the Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, you could go on all day about a lot of this. But, you know, was it a good week for the Wolves? Not really, but at least we won the last two games. You know, at least we won, I guess. And are still in first place by the grace of God in the Western Conference. We'll see what happens coming up, though. What do we have, two games coming up? Oh, no, three games coming up that I talked about. We're playing against the Spurs, OKC, and Dallas. Typically, when you hear those three teams, it's like, oh boy, a kiss of death. We're in trouble going in. But thankfully, we should be okay for the most part when it comes to the Spurs at the very least. As for OKC on the road, I don't know. Dallas at Target Center, I hope you got to win that game. Like, think of it as it's the first round of the playoffs. We're the number one seed. They're number eight, and they are number eight. So take care of business. Now that I've gotten into that enough, I think you get the point. The Lone Wolf and Johnny Flynn Memorial, I don't even know where to go. I don't know. I really don't know. Because there's multiple players here that could get both. Both. And I think that's where I'm going to go. I think that's exactly where I'm going to go. Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards will get the Lone Wolf Award and the Johnny Flynn Memorial. What do you think of that? That is an anomaly that you've never heard of probably on this show. They're getting both for some outstanding games and some awful play as well down the stretch. They're getting both. And does Kat deserve the blame for the Hornets game? Partially. Definitely not the whole thing. That was a team, you know, total team failure, obviously. Total system failure at the end of the day. I don't know. I mean, that kind of falls on everybody. Even the coaching, as frustrated as Finch was, you know, I mean, it kind of falls on him too, and that's probably why he's frustrated. You know, it makes him look bad, honestly. Same in the OKC game, the way we just simply let that game slip away. We let it slip away. Credit to the OKC Thunder for, you know, being clutch, especially Shea. But at the same time, it's a winnable game. You got to do it. You got to win that game. So extremely frustrating at the end of the day. I think I've made enough of my point. We'll take a quick break and preview the upcoming three games. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number two. We're going to do some previewing. Woo-hoo-hoo! The San Antonio Spurs. And yes, it's fun. It's a first-place team. First place in the Western Conference. Of course this is fun. It just was a crappy couple of games, that's all. I know, the whole week was kind of meh, and you kind of get the idea, right? It was kind of a meh week, wasn't it? At San Antonio, which used to be the kiss of death, and I hope it isn't, Frost Bank Center. Frost Bank Center in San Antonio, Texas, where it was 100 degrees one time in the NBA Finals, and LeBron James not only hyperventilated, but he had cramps to the level of, like, my goodness, he's crippled. He's kind of crippled at the moment. And believe me, cramps are very crippling if they're really bad, muscle cramps, and that's scary. Luckily he survived. I'm not trying to be too sarcastic. Anyhow, injury reports and such, Trey Jones' ankle as of Jan 23rd, and way back on December 11th, Charles Bassey, knee. That doesn't sound good. It doesn't. Jalen Clark still recovering from the Achilles and all that good stuff. Again, he's that second-round prospect who was a defensive stud and all of that. Timberwolves and Spurs are tied at 20th in points per game, which is, again, one of the Wolves' Achilles' heels right now, one of our kryptonites. Like, why is our offense so weak? We're in the bottom third of the league. Why is that? So, it certainly showed against the OKC Thunder with a lot of missed shots. So freaking dumb when we supposedly have the number one defense in the league. Well, we have probably the best defensive player on the planet right now, or the second or third, in Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels, and even Anthony Edwards. Obviously can provide some tough defense, and other players, Mike Conley, have babbled enough about that. Rebounds, the Wolves are 11th, the Spurs are 21st. Three-point percentage, the Wolves are third. The Spurs are 28th, and so on and so forth. Any other spectacular stats? The Wolves and Spurs are tied at 7th in blocks. Yeah, Wemby and Rudy, there you go. The Spurs trail the series, or the Wolves lead the series? Let's say the Wolves lead the series. We won 117-110 in San Antonio. A lot of people actually were kind of like, that game wasn't the best. And then another kind of, just an 8-point win at Target Center on December the 6th. Kind of a nondescript, but at least we won, one of those kind of games. Now we're at Saturday, January the 27th, and then the season series will wrap up on Tuesday the 27th in Target Center. This one is, again, in Frost. What's it called? Frost Bank Center. Interesting. I don't think about Frost a whole lot with the Spurs, do you? Spurs did win one out of their last five. That was against the Washington Capitals. No, the Washington Wizards in Washington. Got killed by Boston. They barely lost to Charlotte by only four. Hung in there against Philly. I believe that was a 70-point game, I think. Yes, it was. Yep, Joel Embiid with 70. David Robinson had 71 against us, if I remember correctly. No, he had 50 against us. He had 71 in a season finale to win the scoring title. And I know Shaq was pissed off way back in the day where Robinson stole the scoring title and won the MVP basically at the end there. And then the Spurs got absolutely hammered by the OKC Thunder, 140-114. But thankfully, the Wolves still half game ahead now in the West, as OKC was in first for a little tiny bit. So, there you go. I can't spell. There you go. Sorry. Responding to somebody. Wolves need to take care of business in this one, and I think they do. I think so. I mean, the Wolves should sweep this season series. Say what you want about Wemby. Obviously, he's a nice player, but, very, very raw early in his career. Still 20 points, 10 rebounds, and, he blocks shots and all that good stuff. What does he block? Almost 3.5 a game. That's impressive. With that long, 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 long frame. What's his field goal percentage? Jeez, for his, somebody at, So he's definitely got some improvement in there. What is he, 46.5% and such. Devin Vassell has become a nice player, 18 points and all that. Kind of a 3-and-D type of guy. 36% from outside. Doug McDermott, almost 45%. So that's a guy that might be in trade conversations regarding the Minnesota Timberwolves for some outside shooting and such. Otherwise, Tyus Jones is a guy a lot of us would love to have, a point guard that can protect the ball, you know, and help with the turnovers. He's one of the best in the league about ball control. And then obviously Conley is as well. So imagine having Conley and Trey Jones as your point guards. It's like no disrespect to McLaughlin. It's just Trey Jones is another level higher. He's a level higher. Trey Jones, Tyus. Trey is his younger brother. So Tyus, how many does Trey have? Assist to turnover ratio is not quite as good, I would say, as Tyus's. We could use his help. Tyus Jones did, of course, play for the Wizards, or does play for the Wizards. Just kind of, I don't know, wasting away there. Unfortunately, would love to have him here, back with the Wolves again. Unfortunately, he's a little on the expensive side because he's one of the best, you know, he's one of the best backup point guards in the world, I'd have to say. And he was when he was here as well. There was once a time a lot of people saw him as a starter, but no, he's an extremely good backup, basically, who, you know, it could be like a six-man type. Wolves will beat the Spurs fairly well. I don't think we're going to beat them comfortably, actually. I'm going to go with 110 to 100. Carl Anthony Towns with 28. The Wolves emerge victorious over the Spurs. Next game, please. And I'm getting nothing. Why is that? What just happened? I think Yahoo is doing what it does, which is absolutely nothing sometimes. And it's so annoying. I apologize for this. OKC. Yep, well, that wasn't that hard. I don't want to play these guys anymore. Let's kick their ass. Let's pound them into the next county. Paycom Center. Let's Paycom them a visit here and crush their butts. Olivier Saar has a hip problem as of Jan the 22nd, but I don't know a whole lot about him. Third in points, yeah, they are really good. As OKC, the rebounds are 28th. Second in league in field goal percentage. Number one in free throw. Number two in three-pointers. Stats that I don't always talk about when they're like number one and number two in something. That's pretty amazing. Third in assisted turnover ratio. They sure looked like that against us. Number one in the league in blocked shots. Number two in the league in steals. So the Timberwolves trail the series, or the Thunder lead it, 2-1. 106-103 Wolves over the Thunder. November 28th. That was a very big, epic battle, and it was fun to watch. 129-106. Thunder over the Wolves on Merry Christmas. No, right after Christmas, the Wolves got smushed, and it was just depressing. And then the Wolves let this one slip away just a couple days ago, or last Saturday anyway, 102-97. And then Monday, January 29th, the season wrap up, the rubber match. Please let the series be evened up. I would really appreciate that. Oklahoma City Thunder have won 4 in a row. Thank you, Clippers, for beating the Thunder and keeping them down a bit. That was, about a week ago or so. You know, 10 days ago already. Since then, they beat the Utah Jazz. They beat the Timberwolves. They beat Portland by only 2 points. Damn, come on, Portland. That would have been amazing. And then crushed the Spurs, 140-114. I'm going to step out in faith and believe that the Timberwolves return the favor. And I think it's time the Wolves put a nice butt-kicking on this freaking team. You know, they're good. I respect them. They're fun to watch. But I want to kick their ass. What do you think of that? That's how I used to look at the Golden State Warriors until Mr. Somebody started getting so, animated every time he made a shot. I couldn't take it anymore, and I just started screaming. Yeah, luckily, I don't see that type of behavior with the OKC Thunder, and I hope it never happens. I can't take it. Ugh. Just play the game, have fun, and not be an ass about it. That's all I ask. Just don't be an ass about it, okay? And Anthony Edwards, same thing. Don't be an ass about it. You know, I mean, luckily, I don't really see him being an ass. He has a competitive arrogance, but it's not like an outright arrogance like some so far, but we'll see. Anthony Edwards, hopefully. I didn't like the stare down on Anthony Davis. I remember Vince Germano brought that up a few weeks ago. That was like, that wasn't the best. So thought I'd mention that. Stepping out in faith, the Timberwolves show up and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, kind of clamping down a bit and also, again, being clutch as well when it matters most. The Timberwolves defeat the Thunder by a final score of 125-118. Anthony Edwards with 40. Anthony Edwards with 40, and the Wolves defeat the Thunder by 7 in KC. So it's a Texas two-step type of deal again, but back at the Target Center, though, so it's not too scary at the end of the day. Apologize for the delay. Well, it's not a Texas two-step. You go from OKC to Dallas. That's not a Texas two-step, but you're playing Texas teams twice. We wrap up the month of January, and there is no game until next week's show to literally get February rolling, I suppose. Wednesday, January the 31st. Goodbye, January. And hello, sunlight, as it continues to grow day by day by day. Like, this week was the first week where, starting on Monday, where we gain at least 1 minute a day on the sunrise, where we had been gaining a minute a day on the sunset, but now the sunrise as well. So it's that dual effect where the days get longer and longer and longer. And I love it. Max Kleber, or Kleber, whatever, with a toe injury, January 25th. Dwight Powell, ouch, January 24th. And Kyrie Irving, everything. No, thumb injury, I guess, January the 23rd. Kyrie Irving, same old story. It should just say that. It's always something. But when he's healthy, the Mavericks are extremely dangerous. But if you want to put bajillions of dollars in somebody that's out about, I don't know, 60% of the time, I think you're not getting a good return on your investment. Luka Doncic complains more than Karl Anthony Towns, and that's saying a lot. The Timberwolves do lead the series 2-1. They beat the Mavericks 119-101 in Dallas. Impressive, but of course, again, yeah, I mean, no Kyrie. I forget, one of them had no Kyrie or Doncic. 118-110, that might have been the one. 118-110, the Wolves slipped by the Mavericks in Target Center. It's kind of weird. 118-110 there. 119-101 in the previous one. And then the Mavericks win in Dallas, 115-108. Kyrie Irving went off. And I mean, he went off. Both of them had, like, both Kyrie and Doncic had, like, they combined for, like, 70 points in that game. And, well, I think the Wolves will win this one. I got a feeling the Wolves win three in a row here, which put us at 5 in a row. I'd like to believe it. I'm stepping out in faith, particularly in the OKC game, but at least go 2-1, I suppose. But I don't want to lose to the Thunder, dang it. I do not want to lose to the Thunder. I think the Wolves need to return the favor. And if they don't, then I guess maybe the Thunder are better. And I don't want to say that. I want to expect and believe that the Timberwolves can get the job done. Ah, lemon and tomato juice. Yep. It's a Timberwolves staple. It's a Timberwolves staple. Lemon and tomato juice. Timberwolves explosion staple here, even though we're not playing the New Orleans Pelicans. Put the lemon in the tomato juice. Dallas Mavericks, though. I think the Wolves win this game. It's going to be tight. It's going to be close. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas won this one. The Wolves might even go 1-2 in this week. But if they get their head out of somewhere, there's a good chance the Wolves have at least a winning record, if not sweeping the whole week here, which would be amazing. The Wolves are ever capable of doing that. And not only are my expectations high, but I believe in this team. I believe they can. I mean, there's no reason to say this team can't win all three of these games. So why the heck not? Why the heck not say they will? At the end of the day, the Wolves will beat the Mavericks by a final score of 118-117. Going to come down to the end. It's going to come all the way to the end. Anthony Edwards with 35, and the Wolves survive a back-and-forth battle. I think Mike Conley will be very key in a victory versus Doncic and Kyrie Irving if Irving plays. If Irving doesn't play, I think the Wolves win a little bit more comfortably. But one way or another, I think the Wolves survive and win the season series and go 3-0 this week to get to 35-13, which would be fantastic, and get us closer to possibly, to possibly winning 60 games still. There's still a chance, obviously. Once you lose your 23rd game, it's over. But once you lose your 23rd game, it's over. You can't win 60 anymore. So just simple math from 82 games at the end of the day. But the Wolves will win by a point, particularly if both Doncic and Kyrie are playing. Kyrie may or may not play. Odds are he won't. And the Wolves win it by a final score of 122-114. Still fairly close, but I think the Wolves get the win one way or another with that said. So with that, we're going to take a quick break and jump to fan interaction ASAP. We'll be right back. And we are back here on Terminals Explosion, segment number 3, fan interaction segment, or so I'd like to believe. The Facebook, or no, the the Instagram account is Timberwolves_explosion. The Twitter account is @TWolvesEX. I don't believe there's any comments, unfortunately. There's likes, but there's no comments, unfortunately, for the Instagram. But I do appreciate the likes very much. Yes, like it as much as possible. That can help either way, those of you that do. The Twitter account, there is a there's a retweet from Derek Felska, thank you, coming out of Western Wisconsin, and Vince Germano, coming in out of Australia, Melbourne, Australia. A bunch of people have been liking, but a lot of them are fake accounts, unfortunately. Levi Brown, coming in out of New Zealand. He said he managed to catch up to the last quarter. Terrible. Those last three free throws from Ant summed it up. Yeah, it was really depressing. That was against the, OKC Thunder. I was saying so many open shots missed tonight. It's driving me insane. Can't stand seeing this slip away. Yeah, there were so many missed shots against the frickin', whatever they're called, OKC Thunder. What was the other one? Yep, this game was a massive letdown and may end up costing us home court long term. Very, very disappointed with the fourth quarter tonight. Yep, that was against the OKC Thunder again. Yep, Trent Tucker. The Trent Tucker rule. I don't think I talked about it. Doggone it. I think it was right on the same day of last week's show. No, this is a while back. It was about 2 weeks ago. 34 years ago today, Trent Tucker hit the Trent Tucker rule shot. Basketball history, and also on MLK Day, like today. Happy MLK Day, Timberwolves faithful, I was saying. So this could have gone on last week's show, where the shot was caught and released immediately, and the New York Knicks won, I believe, against Michael Jordan. Yeah, against the Bulls. Pretty crazy. Yep, January 15, 1990, and that was MLK Day as well. I believe it would be the third Monday of January. So pretty cool, to say the least. Pretty cool. That was a beautiful shot by Trent Tucker. And then they decided, hey, that's too, you shouldn't be able to make a shot with 0.1 seconds left. They changed it to was it 0.2 to be able to even for it to count as a shot. Otherwise, you have to just tip it. So, interesting. Trent Tucker's amazing release, and the Knicks win the game versus the Chicago Bulls. Trent Tucker, of course, from Michigan, but also, what's wrong with me? My brain's stopping. Trent Tucker from Michigan, but of course, again, came to the Minnesota Gophers. And, yep, he stuck around here, especially after, retiring from the Bulls when they won the NBA title in 93. Retired from the Bulls at a pretty young age. He was still in his early 30s, if I remember correctly. Just like, okay, I got my ring, that's nice. One way or another, maybe just figured, I don't want to be a backup player, because he was a starter with the Knicks and such. And he played with the Spurs as well, to Trent Tucker. And he's one of the coolest guys in the world. I love him. He was a wonderful color commentator with the Timberwolves for many years. Especially when he was with Kevin Harlan. Holy cow, that was a good combination. It was awesome. Those were the days. going back to the early 90s, the mid 90s. Oh, it was so much fun having Trent Tucker with Mr. And it went into the 2000s a little bit, but Trent Tucker with Kevin Harlan, who left after the Timberwolves' success in 97. That was devastating when Trent Tucker left. Let me tell you, 97-98. It was just devastating when the Wolves lost that series to the Seattle Supersonics, and then that was the end of Kevin Harlan with the Wolves. Oh, man. Became a national star, though, so good for him. Anyhow, look at me rambling all over the place. I'm going to look at the analytics of the show a tiny bit. Might as well, unfortunately, again, wish there was more interaction, but I understand you guys out there that are busy, 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 busy people, and I totally understand. Again, huge shout out to Scott Doherty, Wolfpack from Flip to Finch, in a wonderful Facebook page covering the Timberwolves. One of the nicest guys out there as well. And really appreciate Scott Doherty. Really like you. So, yep. And, of course, Vince Germano. Love you, brother. Yep. United States, 70%. Australia, there you go. 11%, number 2. United Kingdom, number 3. I'd like to meet you, some of you out there from the United Kingdom. Say hello sometime. Just Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Facebook.com/TimberwolvesExplosion is your Facebook page, should you want to interact there. And, hey, it's always available. believe I get comments, conversations from Vince and, of course, Tanay and Levi on there as well at times. Tanay and Levi are both from New Zealand and two of the coolest guys in the world. There's no doubt about that. I'm trying to load it real quick. Apologize for my lack of being punctual anyway. It's got a good number of followers, but, you know, just does not a whole lot of interaction. Maybe guys are kind of, I don't know, kind of bored. Looks like Guy Lavender, Guy or Guy Lavender, like to post, like to hear from you sometimes. Say hello, talk to me, I'd like to meet you. Unless you're, you know, I don't think it's a fake account or anything. So it'd be nice to say hello sometime. Yeah, it'd be awesome. India, interesting. New Zealand, yep. Germany, Hong Kong, interesting. South Korea, Canada, Canuckland, of course. No, I'm just kidding. Croatia, all right. But yep, most of those are less than 1%, but I mean, they're still out there. Czech Republic, I'd love to say hello. Just say hi sometime. Brazil, yep. Spain, España, Mongolia, Philippines, yep. So say hello sometime. We'd like to meet you and all that good stuff. Nothing too crazy. Don't worry. I'm not gonna bother you. Don't worry. I don't know if I've been scaring people away or of late, or people are just busy and getting behind with the show, which is possible. Some people can't even keep up with a weekly show because they're just busy or whatever, or maybe they think I'm too negative. I have no idea. I'm not trying to be negative. Just trying to be honest, and I want to see this team win. I want them to win. I want them to win, especially because I know they can. I know they have the talent to win, so I want them to win. That doesn't make me a negative fan or a bad fan. It makes me a confident fan, dang it. Confident in terms of I want to win because I know they're capable of it. Now that I've repeated myself 50 times, I want to wish all of you a wonderful week and hope you enjoy the show. Please tell your friends about the show. Please put 5-star ratings on iTunes, your Apple Podcast, iTunes, whatever you'd call it, Spotify, whatever other app you might use, whether they're like Player FM. There's so many different apps, and it's a pleasure having them. Odyssey, not Audacity, but Odyssey. Audacity is obviously an editing software that I personally use. What is there? I think it's on Pandora. CastBox. Yep, that one's kind of a nice one. I like CastBox. Player FM. Yep, I mentioned that one. That one's really good. Really good, actually. So many others. There's a... it's up. Well, it's not officially up, but I'll give you the announcement anyway, and I'll probably announce it again. Timberwolves Explosion is in the process of being on YouTube Music and on my YouTube channel as well. So that's another tentacle to Timberwolves Explosion. So yes, that's like an announcement, you could say. So it's another tentacle to the show. YouTube Music, which is still a brand new thing. It's basically replacing Google Podcasts. So those of you that are fans of Google Podcasts that listen to the show on that, YouTube Music, this show is in the process of being up there. 290 shows are already up. Apparently 92 are remaining to be uploaded, and it's limited how many can be uploaded at a time. I don't know why that is, but it's been kind of an ongoing process. So by Saturday or Sunday, every single show will be up, including this one. Brave the Wild is the show I recorded yesterday. It's still being held up because the Timberwolves Explosion episodes are in the way, because I still was in the process of putting these up. Video Game Flashback and Pearl Mafia are completely up and active and all that cute stuff. So as long as Timberwolves Explosion moves, gets these episodes up, so it's like out of the way, so to speak, brand new shows will be up all the time on YouTube Music as well. Like, as soon as they're released here by me, they will, you know, bleed out to Apple Podcasts, blah, 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 and eventually YouTube Music as well, in this, you know, probably within an hour or two of the publishing of the show. That's usually like probably the longest it would take, is my guess, especially when it's kind of like new, you know, it doesn't move as fast. But once it's kind of like in the groove, so to speak, it's up, maybe within a half hour or so of the actual publishing of the podcast, which will be momentarily for the time I'm recording this. So with that, again, please do that. Please help with the algorithms of the show. Nice ratings, nice reviews if possible. Really appreciate those of you that have. You know, you're the backbone of the show. You truly are. With that said, have yourself a wonderful week and go Timberwolves.